fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck. You're listening to Fire on the Earth, and I want to continue today to talk about St. Paul's letter to the Romans, but blend it with remembering some of the words of St. Francis. If you haven't tuned into the program this week so far, on both Monday and Tuesday, I read some quotes from the official biographers of St. Francis to talk about things that he was passionate about and the content of what he preached. He loved to preach the gospel to people. He was a man compelled by love with a deep sense of urgency and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to proclaim the gospel with great power and great effect, so much so that we're still in some ways feeling the effects of Francis 800 years later. For example, even in the pontificate of Pope Francis, he chose the name because of how deeply he's moved by the life of St. Francis and the model that Francis was for us. But there's a great continuity with what St. Francis is saying. Of course, the readings that the church gives us this week at Mass each day from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, there's a strong kind of unity of the word. And it shouldn't surprise us because the preaching of the apostles, the preaching of the church, and in particular the preaching of the saints, because the saints had such tremendous clarity about the gospel, about Christ, and were so deeply united to the heart of Jesus that their lives and their preaching were conformed to Christ at a very powerful level. So much so, I mean, that it inspires us. I mean, that's what the saints do, right? They inspire us and they move us and they show us what's possible, how close human beings can be conformed to the person of Jesus if we allow his grace to unfold in us. Yesterday, I ended the program reflecting on Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 25, which was yesterday's reading, and I wanted to be able to finish it today. In summary, this section is, Paul begins by declaring the gospel, you know, in this way. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's a crucified Messiah. It's Jesus Christ come in the flesh, dying on a cross, shedding his blood, and from the point of view of the eyes of men, of the eyes of the flesh, he looks like a defeated Messiah, another pathetic creature, another pathetic leader who couldn't live up to his own message, who was never going to be what everybody hoped he could be by virtue of what they saw in his life. But instead, what we see is that Jesus' death on the cross was not a defeat, but it was a victory. And the shedding of his blood on the cross is the great sacrifice that purifies us of all sin, of the human race of all sin. Those who come to believe in him can have their sins forgiven because of his death on the cross. And the good news is what? That Jesus Christ has died, but also that Jesus Christ is risen. That the new humanity, the new thing, God's plan for the salvation of the world began and continues in the person of Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead, Paul said, by the power of the Holy Spirit earlier in this very same chapter. He was designated Son of God in power. Jesus Christ now reigns eternally glorious, full of power, with absolute authority and power. No opposition possible could stop Christ from being everything that he is. And we are, the apostles tell us, the saints tell us, we have been through baptism, through repentance of our sins, the accepting of the gospel of the good news of who Jesus is, accepting and believing in that, entrusting our lives to it, putting Christ at the center, saying yes to his lordship and majesty over us. This is the way to salvation. This is the core of the good news and its transforming power. So Paul begins this section by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God, literally. Literally. There's only one way for you and for me, for anyone to become a new creation, to pass from death to life. It's to be united to the one who has dominated, who has transformed it all, who has swallowed up death in victory. It's the person of Jesus. He's got the power within him, friends, of an indestructible life. He lives now forever, never to die again. And he's saying through his church, does anybody want to share in what belongs to me? St. Peter said, look, friends, he wants to make us partakers of the divine nature. Are we hearing it? Are we opening our hearts? Are we radically abandoning ourselves to him? And so Paul is giving in this section of Romans chapter 1 a warning. And he's echoing a similar kind of warning that I read from St. Francis. I'll cover Paul, and then I'll go back to that reading again to give you a sense of how much the saints and the apostles are all on the same page and how they trust God's revelation and they just communicate it as it has been passed on to us from Jesus. So he said here, the wrath of God is indeed being revealed from heaven. So God's wrath, what is God's wrath? God's anger in the right sense of understanding it. That is God's resistance to man's refusal to acknowledge him. God's justice. God is proclaiming through St. Paul that you cannot live in sin, you cannot ignore God, you cannot ignore his commandments and expect not to come under judgment. It's just the way it is. So here's Paul. The wrath of God is indeed being revealed from heaven against every impiety and wickedness of those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. What's the great sin that he's putting his finger on? Suppressing the truth about God, God's majesty, God's absolute sovereignty and authority over us. God is our creator. God is our father. God's rightful claim on each one of our lives. His commandments, all of that. It's suppressing the truth about the human heart, which is trapped in sin, is tempted always to push God to the margins, to ignore God, because we fundamentally want to be independent of God. We don't want to have to answer to God. We don't want to have to live a life other than the one we feel like we want to have for ourselves. And so authority figures, expectations of others get in the way of what we want. And we put God in that same category. God gets in the way of the life we decide we want to have for ourselves. And so in order to live the life we want, we suppress God's claim, to suppress the truth about God. That's Paul's point, that God has been revealed. His truth has come to the earth. We know it both through his creation, through the prophets, through his people Israel, through the commandments that he gave on Mount Sinai. I mean, we knew it. The commandments are carved into walls of courtrooms, friends, all over America. We knew it, but now we want to take them down. Now we want to turn away from those commandments because we think the only way for us to be happy, for us to have a way forward, is for us to have neutral. There is no neutral ground, by the way, but the idea that we want a neutral civilization, that is a naked public square, as some have called it, that is no God mentioned, no faith being manifested there openly. We have to have a secular world if we're going to be happy. We're going to have a secular public square if we're going to be happy. We have to come up with the kind of virtues or ways of living that we can all agree on. We can't make reference to what God wants because that's an imposition on other people. And so we have to create a world. Now here, think about this. This is one of the ways we suppress the truth about God. God is the creator. He's the creator of all things. We exist. We have being because God created us and holds us in being. The whole reason the globe exists, the world exists, the universe exists, is to give glory to God. And everything in creation recognizes God and fulfilling its living according to its creation and its own glory. We're the ones who can respond to that vocation at the highest level, but we have to do it with our freedom. We have to say yes to it. Everything else in creation automatically does it. We have to choose it because God made us in his image and likeness. We're free creatures. We can accept that love. We can accept him and the great vocation and call to rise to the dignity of sons and daughters of God. And by obeying God as Jesus did and following him, or we can stiff arm God, turn away from God, push God from the human horizon, say no to God because I must be the center of everything. I must be the master of my own life, my own creation. I'm the center of all things in my life. Otherwise, I can't be happy. So this is the poison, the lie, the demonic doctrine that's dominating more and more in our culture all the time. Do you feel the hostility toward God that's emerging more and more as leaders start to sort of model or give permission to people to just, you know, declare their anger at God and the things of God and religious things and demanding power over life and death, demanding to have no limits put on our life whatsoever. Friends, what's going on here is the eternal battle. the battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the human heart is sick with sin. It's sin sick. Nobody wants to acknowledge that today. I mean, certainly people who are following God, who fear God in the world are doing that. But I'm talking about those with power that are driving culture to be a secular public square only. Their own hearts are driving them there. And they're believing a lie that that's the way to freedom. And so what Paul says in this reading is that we refuse to acknowledge God. And as a result, God gives us over to what we demand. Existence without God. And he gives us over to the power of our own flesh. Puts it this way. He said, there is no excuse. Everyone is under judgment, Paul is saying, who refuses to acknowledge God, because God has revealed himself to everybody, to man's conscience, through creation, through the gospel, through the commandments, all kinds of ways. But they don't, people know it, but they don't want to give God glory, and they don't want to be thankful and give God thanks and offer their lives to God. It can become vain in our reasoning, and our senseless minds, Paul says, are darkened. What does that mean? Senseless minds are darkened. So senseless that the God who made our minds, the God who's the ground of all truth and being, the God who makes sense of everything, we decide to say he doesn't exist. Or we want to live as if he doesn't exist. Or that we're radically autonomous creatures, that we're here and there's nothing but us. Everything's a gigantic accident and we're making our own way. It's all a big lie. It's what we glory in because we think we're discovering everything and we're boldly facing it all. But it's fundamentally a lie. It's fundamentally a lie. So our senseless minds are darkened. We lose all wisdom and understanding of why we're here. And Paul tells us we become fools because we exchange God's glory for ourselves, for creatures, for idols. So Paul warns us, and he says the wrath of God is coming. St. Francis did the same thing. St. Francis, I read from the one letter he wrote to all the rulers of the people from all around the world that he sent this open letter to. I read it yesterday. But I want to repeat it just so we see the continuity between the preaching of St. Paul and what we're hearing in the letter of the Romans and from the heart of this most loving, kind, gracious, humble saint. He said, consider, friends, he's writing now to the politicians. Imagine him speaking to Congress today or judges. Maybe some of you are listening to the program today. St. Francis is talking to you. He said, consider and see, the day of death draws near. I ask you, therefore, with such reverence as I can, don't forget God on account of all the cares and solicitudes of this world, and don't turn aside from his commandments. Francis said, for all those who forget God and turn away from his commandments are cursed, and they shall be forgotten by God. And he goes on to say that they will receive judgment and end up enduring great torments in hell. Now, friends, this is a compassionate word from one of the most loving saints human history has ever seen. Love proclaims the truth. There is no truth apart from God. There's no happiness. There's no freedom apart from God. There's no eternal life apart from his Son. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.